This land is your land. This land is mine.
Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm Carol Murphy, your host. Thank you so much for joining us. This evening, our guest is Juliette Barr, and she's the Director of Business Development and Marketing at SourceMap. In just a moment, she will be with us and tell you all about what she is up to. And remember also that you can find us on Facebook, or you can email us at heartstockradio@gmail.com. We're always looking for great business stories to share. We'll be right back with Juliette in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm your host, Carol Murphy. It's a beautiful day here in sunny Butte, Montana. With us is Juliette Barr, and she is the Director of Business Development and Marketing at SourceMap. Hi, Juliette.
Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
Excellent. And where are you speaking with us from? Where are you at right now?
I'm in my apartment in New York City.
Yay. What's it like in New York City today?
It's great. It's great. It's perfect weather, end of summer, not too hot, very sunny, very busy, getting ready for a Labor Day weekend.
Yes, and thank goodness the heat waves are over, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That was something
very happy about that part.
Yeah. Can you give our listeners just a brief background about what is SourceMap and your role there at the company?
Of course. So SourceMap is a tech company that provides software for usually pretty mid-sized to very, very large company regarding supply chain visibility, transparency, and traceability. And I'm sure we're going to dive deeper with this interview on what all that means. But mainly it's a technology that emerged 10 years ago because there was no solution, no technology back then to just simply as visualizing on the map your suppliers, where your product were coming from. And so that's a big part of what we're doing is visualizing it and helping also people get connected in their supply chain.
And that's becoming a fairly important issue in transparency. Consumers, it seems, are desiring to know where companies are getting their wares and if people are being paid fairly and if the environment is well taken care of. And is that part of what drove your company to take on this project?
It's part of it. And it's true, we've seen, especially the last 2-3 years, really the uptake of this kind of, at least of discussions for mainstream companies. I like to say that supply chain is becoming sexy. Before, we thought of supply chain as the support function that just needed to exist, but wasn't necessarily not essential, but interesting to people. And really still this last 2, maybe 3 years, now people are really getting into it. It's not the only thing that drove our business. I mean, it drove our business currently, but originally 10 years ago, I don't know if you remember, there was a big, massive tsunami that happened in Japan. And what happened is it disrupts so many supply chains. And when the major force in Japan of big companies tried to reestablish their supply chain to go back to business as soon as possible, they realized it was very difficult because they had no idea where their suppliers were. They weren't very well connected to them. And I'm not even talking of their sub-suppliers, their supplier suppliers. So and so that's actually how we came up to exist.
So it all started in the tuna industry. Am I understanding you correctly? Can you explain that just a little bit more?
It started not in a specific industry, but it started with the tsunami in Japan. So many different industries, many different companies in Japan were really disrupted by the tsunami.
And oh, the tsunami.
Didn't
got
know.
It. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the tsunami. And it was a real challenge. And so they asked the MIT to help them design a tool or design a technology that could help them with that. In fact, that's actually how we started. My CEO, Cosmat CEO, Leonardo Bonanni, actually had a project at the MIT working on this. And at the end of the project was very successful. People loved the software. So he decided to make a spin-off company out of this project. And that's how SourceMap was created in 2011.
Got it. Okay. So we're detecting just a tad bit of an accent, Juliet. Where are you from?
Oh, yeah.
And please share with us a little bit about your background.
Of course. Oh, yeah. As you can hear, I'm French. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the north of France, in the countryside, always been very into nature and the environment and wanted to take care of it as much as I could. And I studied in different countries, being, you know, traveling always being also a big part of my life. I studied in Luxembourg, in Denmark, in Sweden, so all in Europe. And then I went to Malawi, which is a landlocked country in south, let's say, more east, southeast of Africa, for a couple of months working on a business plan for recyclable waste. And I came back to France. And I really liked it. Worked on for a big company in CSR reporting, which is a little bit different than supply chain. So really looking at KPIs and metrics for social and environmental impact. And I had the chance to meet amazing people there. And I got hired to start a business in the U.S., a technology, a reporting software technology that existed in France and that they wanted to launch in the U.S. So that's how I arrived 4 years ago now to New York City. And that's also how, through, you know, developing the business there, that's also how I met SourceMap. Really enjoyed the team, really enjoy also, you know, the impact that supply chain, they have on supply chain and on companies. I think I loved working on CSR reporting, but supply chain is such a core business need for most company. I thought the impact was bigger, and so that's why I decided to join SourceMap.
So who are your consumers? Who do you work for?
So mostly we have two big types of clients. We have the big brands. We work with Mars, with Hershey's in the food industry. We work with the North Face, Timberland, Vans in the fashion industry. So you're right when you said consumer are pushing for more and more transparency. And now we are here to help the big brands being more transparent. Most of the time it's not that they don't want to do it. They don't just don't know how, or they don't have the right tool to do it. So we're here to help them. Mostly it's fashion and food, but we're also getting into beauty and cosmetic. I feel like people are also getting more, pushing more for more transparency there. And then another part is working with the big commodity companies. So the middlemen, if you want, that are buying from farmers and farmer groups all around the world and need to report to this big brand that are asking them, where are the product coming from?
Yes. And, you know, I've talked to people in the timber industry because part of what we do with my startup is source things from the rainforest. And many times, even if it's certified, there's still some sketchiness there because it's not truly transparent from beginning to end. And how does your software work exactly? And how does it increase that transparency and the accuracy of the information for the consumer?
So there is really two things and two really scenarios that we've seen with our clients. Is they are the clients that have no idea who are their sub-suppliers. They know they're buying fabrics or they're buying finished goods. It might or might not be certified, but they don't know actually who they're actually buying from or who made this processed product. So there's a big, big part of everyone wants traceability and wanted, you know, to be sure and verified. But the first step is just you need to start the discussion with your suppliers, need to identify them. And to increase reliability of information, you can ask them for evidence each time you ask a question. Are you certified? Yes, please provide a certification. Are you compliant with this and this regulation? Yes, please prove me. Show me the process or the policy or anything. So that's the first step. And to your point for certification, sometimes, and I really learned it, the source map, certification are given at the middleman or not at the farm, not at the mine level, but someone, a trader or a group of people will be given a certification. But in that group of people, not everyone is actually compliant with the certification. And it's very tricky to actually get to the bottom of it. So how we do it is we enable to track transactions. So we will identify and map every farmer or every raw material producer. Sometimes it can be mines. And having kind of a profile on them for our clients. And each time they sell something to a cooperative, to a trader, to a processor, depending on how they do their business, we have a track of the transaction. We have a track of the volume, so we know exactly where it's coming from. We have the traceability. We give a traceability number. And so we're always able to go back to the source. And it's a massive amount of data if you've got to, you know, tracking thousands of tons of cocoa or of coffee or viscose or cotton. But that's really how it's by validating every transaction. That's really the last level of verification. And what it does allow us to do as well, because we cross this transaction information with the profile of the different people and with contextual data that we call risk heat map, like
say that
the
one
map
more time.
Of predicted risk heat map. So we get data from the World Resource Institute or from the OECD or ILO, for example, the protected areas in the world, or satellite imagery of deforested areas or tree cover loss for the last 10 years. And we add that layer to all the people we've mapped. And so it enables us to look at risk in a very contextual way. And it's very granular. We see Brazil right now is burning and it's catastrophic. But not everywhere, not all Brazil is burning. So it would not be fair to look at risk for deforestation the same way for everyone in Brazil. So by adding this map, we can really identify who is more at risk, who is less at risk, and who you should more engage on certain topics than others.
So is that the general overreaching mission of the company, is to create transparency in supply chains?
Yes. The overall goal of the company is we really do believe that driving more transparency and traceability will also benefit smallholder and anyone in the supply chain. More fairness, less corruption, and drive better business, more efficient and better business. Mm-hmm. We're very good at helping trace commodities that are made in the global south, where not every supply chain is digitized. You know, a lot of things are on paper. And so we really help make it more digitized and easier to track. And even for the farmers, it's getting easier to prove that actually they're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. We're at that halfway point. So we're going to take a brief break here. And in just a moment, we will be back with Juliet Barr. Thanks for listening. This is Heartstock. This is Heartstock Radio. Thank you so much for listening. We're speaking with Juliet Barr of SourceMap. Hi again, Juliet.
Hi again.
Can you talk a little bit more about the technology? You know, where did it come from? Who developed it? Just dive into that a little bit more for our listeners, please.
Yes, of course. So we have a team of amazing people in-house at SourceMap, our CTO, and really who is at the heart of the technology. With our CEO is Bennington Purcell. So Leo and Ben created the platform, but now we have a full team of people improving it every day. Trustability and transparency, you know, it's still, even though we have more than 8 years experience working on it, there's always new way to make it better, more efficient, easier to use, easier to access. So actually we really are as well in kind of a R&D kind of company, always creating new features that will benefit all our clients.
You mentioned Hershey and working with them on tracing their cocoa suppliers. Can you just kind of run us through the scenario of when Hershey picks up the phone and calls you guys? What's the process and how does it all work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are in the cocoa. We have a lot of experience in cocoa. Hershey, Mars. And so when someone like a brand like them come to us, especially in the food industry and in cocoa that does have a lot of pressure at the moment to be better at avoiding, you know, slavery or modern slavery and to reduce pressure on deforestation. So the first work we have to do with them, even before starting to work with them, is really understanding how well do they know their supply chain. How well are they, you know, what their relationship with their suppliers? Do they already have mapped farmers down to, you know, a big part of the cocoa comes from often West Africa, but in Indonesia and other parts of the world. And now it's pretty standard in the cocoa industry to have mapped farmers. It goes down to actually mapping the farm. Like you will have a polygon that goes and that show you the actual farm on the map. But so that's pretty much, it's not a given for every company, but it's pretty standard now in the cocoa industry. But so how do you get from that to proving that this farm actually delivered cocoa to you? That can be the next step for us. And it's often what we've been asked to do. Sometimes it's actually to identify the farmers, but now the next step is really how to link that farmer to a specific cocoa bag that end up in your chocolate bar that you're buying in your granary or in a Target.
Mm-hmm. Are the individual farmers kind of graded or rated on their environmental consciousness and practices as far as farming being sustainable?
So that will be then most of the time on the commodity and also where they are in the world. When we talk about the global south, often it's sustainable farming is something people are looking at, but mostly they are looking at access to education, to water, or to clinics. That's a priority almost compared to sustainable farming. While if you talk about the US perhaps or European or farming in the Europe, they will be more graded and pressured to have better sustainable farming practice.
So we're mainly concerned with, you know, kind of a, it sounds like a hierarchy of check boxes. The most important thing is that the people are treated fairly. And then next to that in cocoa, am I understanding correctly, would be environmental concerns?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The environmental concern is huge, especially regarding deforestation. And what we do also to help regarding more the slavery and the modern slavery and the fairness of the labor, of the work with labor, we use traceability as well in that way. So as I mentioned, you know, we map the farm, so we know it's like 1 or 2 hectares. The farm has registered 1 or 2 workers maybe. And we know because of our experience that the farm should produce an average XYZ ton of cocoa per week or per month. And by tracking transaction and tracking, you know, how much the farmer is able to deliver, the system is smart enough to identify if there's something that is a little bit weird. Either it's producing 20 times more than it's supposed to. Well, there is a high chance that either there is cocoa that is being smuggled through that farm, either from a different country or just from a farm that is not registered and is probably in a protected area. That's very common. And so the tool is used that way to identify where there is risk. And so either the client or the brand or the trader or the co-op is alerted and can go to the farm and check what is going on. Perhaps it's an error. Perhaps it's actually unregistered cocoa that is sold there. Or perhaps there is just much more, many people that are unregistered on that farm. And so that's why they're able to actually produce more, because there are just more people to do the job.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the challenges? You mentioned restricted areas. So essentially you have folks farming on lands that are not approved for farming. What happens then once you identify that sort of activity?
It's a big challenge. And I think as a source map, we're kind of lucky because we are just the tool that tells people where there is an issue. We are not in charge of fixing it. It's up to the brand or to the client to decide either to engage with those people and say, okay, we're going to help you change. Or sometimes they decide to just not work with those people. They just stop sourcing from these farmers. That's completely up to them. And it's a real issue. We're just here to actually make people aware that this risk or this fraud exists. And each company has a very different policy regarding on how to handle that specific issue.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going very, you know, we're talking about companies that are very in advance in traceability and transparency, because we are the farm level, so the raw material producers. But most brands, maybe less in food, but in fashions, for example, they don't know who make their products. They might not know their tier one supplier. They're buying from them, so they know them. But who made the fabric or who did the dyeing process, etc.? They don't know. And there is high risk. Often it's, you know, further down the supply chain. It's not necessarily your tier one. It's further down because you have less control. Because there are many more suppliers, and often they are in countries that are not as regulated as others regarding labor or environmental law.
So essentially, you know, brands are better able to hold the feet of their suppliers to the fire, so to speak. Do you have some examples of wins of how SourceMap has been able to influence supply chains?
Of course, and unfortunately, I cannot share names on that specifically. But in fashion, we really, as I mentioned, for example, for a specific commodity like leather, that has been very criticized, either right now because of the Amazonian forest or before because of the treatment that is necessary for the tanning process and wet glue process. So helping actually a company, a fashion company, to discover who all those suppliers were, and they had a very, very strict policy on the standard for their suppliers to have, either working with the leather working group or working with other standards. And they realized that actually by doing this discovering process, by engaging with their supplier through SourceMap, not all their suppliers had it, or some had it, but weren't up to date, or things like that. And mm-hmm. So it enabled them to identify those people, engage with them, and help them be, you know, at the right standard. So improve their practice. Mm-hmm. In their case, they decided to engage their supplier to improve their practice.
Yeah, so it's not just a flat out yes or no. In some cases, the actual brand can go to their supplier and say, we'd like to help you improve things. And it can be extremely beneficial in a cooperative sort of way, as opposed to a punitive sort of way.
Yes, and it's most of the time is what is happening, because when your supply chain works and then you learn that it's not up to the standard you set, you might not have the luxury to being able to just say, oh, no, I'm not going to work with those people. I go somewhere else. Sometimes, you know, when you have a good relationship, you want to work on it and just help your suppliers and see them as partner and not as just a provider of service or of goods.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this discovering process, discovering where things come from, most of the time it's true. We discover things that are not pretty. But it's better to know so we can fix it or we can improve it,
right,
than just turning a blind eye and then having a scandal or then discover. It's really, really what I love about transparency.
Mm-hmm. So we've come to the end, unfortunately, once again. And how might listeners find you, Juliet?
I think LinkedIn is the best way to contact me. Very responsive on LinkedIn.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and maybe spell your name for folks just to make sure that they can find you there.
Of course. Juliet, J-U-L-I-E-T-T-E, Barr, B-A-R-R-E.
Thank you so much for being our guest. And this is Heartstock Radio. We shall see you next week. Peace.
As I went walking, I saw a sign there, and on the sign it said, no trespass.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5, Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via livestream at butteamericaradio.org.
That time was